This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios out in support of their record called Familiar Spirit is the band Edison. It's Sarah Slayton, Dustin Morris, and Maxwell Hughes. Welcome to JPR, you guys. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Really cool new record. It has been out now 9 months, something like that. Does that sound about right?
Like 8 months now.
I could look at the sticker. It would tell me we got it in September. So September of 2016. And you guys have been out on the road literally the entire time.
Literally, Eric.
Yeah, man. Life on the road seems to be your bag.
Totally, yeah. The song that you've been playing, thank you for that, Open Road, it's about our Van Morrison and Trailer Swift. And a little over a year and a half ago, we all quit our jobs, we got rid of our apartments, put our stuff in storage, and Dustin found Van Morrison on eBay, and then Trailer Swift soon followed, and yeah, we've done over 250 shows in the last year on the road. So.
And you've also got the cool rocket box on top of the trailer for even extra storage.
Makes it it's a nice setup. Yeah.
You guys met in and around Denver, Colorado, right? How did the three of you come together?
Sarah and I have known each other for a few years now. We actually we went on a tour to South by Southwest in a co-support tour, my old project and then Sarah's solo stuff. And we did that for a little while, and then it was a really cool time, and we just kind of bonded and started, you know, like, we should go ahead and do this. So we got really serious about the name Edison and putting all of our eggs in that basket, so to speak. And then about a year and a half later, we went on another co-headlining tour with a guy named Maxwell Hughes, which is a phenomenal solo instrumentalist. And of course, after a couple weeks, you know, on the road, we're like, well, this is a good fit. We should just all stick together.
Hmm. Now, before you guys each got together, did each one of you have this kind of music in mind as what you wanted to be doing down the road? Because you were each in your own unique projects, right? Sure. That all sounded slightly mm-hmm. different. But was this something that you each had in mind?
And I did in a lot of ways. The sounds that we have, it definitely veered off the path that I originally thought a little bit. But besides, like, I originally thought I would be in a project like electronic drums. And, like, I thought a DJ would be in the back and then like musicians in front, and then DJ would like cue all the drum stuff. But it all ended up working out that when we got together, this happened. And it's, I don't know, I know you wanted to do like an 80s hair metal band, Dustin. I'm sorry that didn't work out for us.
Well, that's just always been a childhood dream.
He wanted to wear the spandex.
There's still time. You could still do that. Maxwell, what about you?
I actually didn't really have a whole lot of expectation about the sound. I just knew that these people were quickly becoming my best friends, and we all played music together, and that's, you know, sort of the foundation for how it all started. And it's pretty cool because all of us came from such diverse backgrounds, and, you know, you think throw a bunch of people like that into a room together and you don't know what's going to happen, but it's pretty cool how, like, all of our strengths, you know, ended up shining through. And
yeah, well, you mentioned the best friends thing. Mm-hmm. You have now spent a great deal of time together in a very small space for almost 3 years.
We're still here.
How are the friendships holding up?
Good, man. I said a flashback to when I fell in the van last night. We're doing great. No, we last night. So we're obviously, Max and I are still in last night's clothes. Cool. We were all triplets by accident last night. We were all wearing literally the same outfit, but we didn't plan it like at the show. And people are like, "Oh, do you guys do that every night?" We're like, "No. Just did that by accident." But last night we were all trying to take a picture of us like with our matching outfits on, and I fell, and I'll show you, there's a photo of me just falling because of the iPhone Live photo. It will forever live in infamy. No, man, we're best friends. We have I have a blast with these guys.
Cool. Edison is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Familiar Spirit, and there is information and videos and audio samples at their website, which is called listentoedison.com. All right, what do you guys want to play first for us?
What are you in the mood for, D?
How about some Good Fight?
Cool. Yeah, this song is called The Good Fight. It's from the album Familiar Spirit. And a lot of times as a songwriter, you tell your side of the story. And in this song, we try to be fair and tell both sides of the story when the relationship ends. Because love wasn't the problem. There was something that they couldn't get from each other.
Where?
you asked me for some direction, as if I know my way around. You're not aiming for higher ground, so why should I pull that trigger?
You come in my room and take off my clothes and slip out the back door so nobody would know. And I cried your name, but you ignore me. I beg for time and you show me no mercy. I'm sorry, love, I must leave you. There's just something I can't get from you.
Giving up, I can't fight the good fight. Though I leave peace and restore,
there's just something I can't get from you.
I'll return in a matter of time.
With all your moves and your intention, our holes that crept up on this bridge. With this disaster, how can we get by when you're stuck on the other side?
But I cry out and you told me, and moving on comes to you so quickly. But remember my name, 'cause you'll be waiting. No, it'll be my time, and yours is taken.
I'm sorry, love, I must leave you.
There's just some.
That is Edison live today on Jefferson Public Radio. A tune from their record called Familiar Spirit. Information is at listentoedison.com. Well, let's talk for a minute about the name of the band, Edison. Is this the obvious? Is it related to Thomas Edison?
In a way, yeah.
How?
There's a book by John Green called Looking for Alaska. He's the same guy that wrote, they made it into a movie, The Fault in Our Stars, at The Fault in Our Stars? But he wrote a book called Looking for Alaska, and in it the protagonist is fixated throughout the book on what well-known people in history said when they died, what their last words were. He felt like when they contributed a lot on this earth, excuse me, that they held more weight to what they said as they were passing on. So at the end of the book, after a bunch of stuff has happened, he says Thomas Edison's final words were, "It's very beautiful over there." And then the author says, "I don't know where there is, but I believe it's somewhere and I hope it's beautiful." So it stemmed from that. Hmm.
Now, when you're picking a band name, was this your first choice?
Yes.
And do you Google it to make sure there aren't any other bands somewhere else in the country or the world that's using the name? Or how do you go about making sure that it can truly be yours?
There was an inactive Edison from like 1992 that isn't around anymore. They're a quartet, which sometimes, you know, that can get a little confusing with Google. But no, honestly, with that, I probably should have thought about that a little bit more, but didn't do that, man. No, I lost, my mother had passed away a couple years before the band started. And so to me, that Edison kind of I don't know where there is, but I believe it's somewhere. I was like hoping it was beautiful for her. So I don't know, the name just kind of stuck with me so much or meant so much that I didn't really think about Google. I just kind of went for it. And then, yeah, we've learned all about that since. So
imagine what the band Tool went through.
Right? I know that actually, when we were talking about should we change the band name, I'm like, yeah, but there's Tool.
Yeah.
And other things.
Right, right.
I mean, all the cool kids now just take we just take the I out, like everyone else who keeps taking out the vowels.
Mm-hmm. Or use two V's for a W or something,
right?
Like that.
God.
The one band that we've had, they're from up in Pacific Northwest. They were, Wild Rabbit. Or no, they were Brer Rabbit, and then there was a sort of copyright infringement thing from that. And then they were Wild Rabbit, and then they were Rabbit Wild. And there have been issues all along the way, and they've just said, you know, F it, and now they're going by Quinca. Huh. And they figured, here's a word that nobody's using as the band name. We're in safe territory finally. So you guys have periodically been more than a three-piece, right? You've had an extra bass player from time to time?
Yeah, our buddy's going to sit in with us when we play Red Rocks Amphitheater next month, our friend Cody.
That's a cool gig.
Yeah, and we've got a Dustin can part-time where we've got a guy on cello sometimes that plays with us.
But it's three kind of the core, the sweet spot. I say that because, Dustin, as I'm watching you, you are singing, you are playing mandolin, and you are also playing drums at the same time. You are an extremely busy guy. Which came first for you? Are you a drummer that has learned to play other things, or?
Honestly, drums, trumpet, and guitar came the same age when I was about 12. I've been singing all my life, though.
So when you have the opportunity to join band and they say pick an instrument, you said no. I'll pick them all.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about your arrangement and how you go about playing and singing at the same time with everything that you've got going on, because you are standing, right? You're not on a stool. And it's all about half foot, and sometimes it's hands, but only when you're not playing mandolin. Have I pretty much covered it?
Getting close. Yeah. Well, actually, thanks for asking, man. That's a cool question. Sorry about my drum set for a second. I just have a regular bass drum, a 20-inch bass drum. No rack toms, no anything like that. I actually have my snare up really high at a diagonal fashion where the first rack tom would be. This is totally for the drum nerds out there, and I'm loving this. I have my toms, which really get more of a timpani type sound, the boom, 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 when there's not picks on it, boom, boom, boom. And so I kind of go for a tribal thing. I have my hi-hat over here raised up really high.
Almost back behind your left hip.
Yeah, so I stand at an angle like this, and the bass drum is going with my right foot. Left hand's going, you know, or left foot's going the hi-hat, which leaves me room to dance, play the mandolin, or in some instances, the trumpet over here. Yeah, but I like standing, so it gives me the freedom of expression with my body, which I prefer.
That's very busky.
It is.
Did you do some of that as a one-man band?
I could see that
happening on a street corner somewhere or in a subway. Let's talk about this record a little bit. This came out, as we mentioned, last September. How long did the songs gestate before you guys were able to put them down into like a 9-song album, something like that?
Yeah, some of them had kind of come to the table from before we were all together as a band, some solo songs that I had. So there's a couple of those on there. And then we all, as we did the first year touring to write music together, we were doing a ton of shows, and we didn't have any releases out there, so we would stop to write music in different places. So we did some time at a cabin in the Rockies. That's where Open Road came out of. We did time at the Chesapeake Bay to write. And that kind of all happened. We recorded last April. That was like, when did we wrote all of that between like the July before of 2015 through the last song was written like a week before we got to the studio. So from like July 2015 until the end of March 2016 is kind of when we wrote a big chunk of it, and then a couple had come from the previous years. Mm.
Edison is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Familiar Spirit. Information is at listentoedison.com. All right, what's next?
I think we should do Civil War. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Feeling it.
A music video just came out for this song. So if you look on YouTube, just look up Edison Civil War or Google it, and you will find the video to this song, which is about the indecision that you face in a moment when your heart wants one thing and your head is thinking maybe something else is more logical.
Raging a civil war, and my head and my heart are raging a civil war. My head and my heart are raging a civil war, and my head,
my heart are raging a civil war, and my head, my heart are raging a civil war, and in my head, in my heart are raging a civil war, and in my head, in my heart are raging a civil war.
That is Edison live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from their record called Familiar Spirit. Information is online at listentoedison.com or probably all of the other social media locations as well. Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. So you guys initially brought songs to the group from your own individual musical pursuits. Now that you have been a band, a true band, for about 3 years, are you now writing collectively, or are you still bringing things to the group one at a time and then working on arrangements after the fact?
Max and I are debating who's going to answer that one. Yeah, it depends. A big majority of it we are now writing together. We just did a big session at this place called the Music District in Fort Collins, and I think 6 songs have come out of that. You know, there's a couple, you know, a lot of like the storyteller based stuff. I've, you know, kind of still go alone with my guitar sometimes in a dark room. But actually, there's never a dark room. But yeah, like a couple of the new songs, I kind of came in and then they came to life after, you know, like the little baby foundation was there. But yeah, like almost everything that we're doing now is a big collaborative effort. Dustin has a new one that we're really excited about that he brought the lyrics in with. And then Max always has insane guitar parts that come in. So.
Do you find that the songs that you're writing now as a collective group are different in a way, or they have maybe sweeter 3-part harmonies than songs that you guys brought in as an individual?
I feel like the ones we've done all together, they're just not as deep lyrically, which is good. There's some like fun, we're writing more fun songs when we're all in a room together. It's not, and then I bring in the heavy stuff when I'm at room alone and come back.
You're working out your issues by yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Right. You guys talked about Van Morrison and the time that you spend on the road. Do each of you have a role to play in those long road trips? I mean, do you sort of, is there a driver? Is there a navigator? Is there a goofball that's always trying to crack the others up?
Hey, we all split everything down equally, including the cracking up. You know, we all take the same amount of driving shifts and, you know, navigate and everything. Take turns filling up the gas and who's going to wash the windshield. It's just kind of we got our system down now. I'm really happy to say.
Yeah. Sarah, you were doing some band management before, and now you are kind of doing some band management here. What have you learned over the ensuing years of not only doing it for others, but now doing it for your own group?
Great question. You know, I started managing bands because I was really passionate about some artists that were in Colorado that I was hoping to give some more visibility to. And I'd been blessed to have the opportunity to be asked to join this company called the Vinefield Agency, which was booking agency and management PR firm. It was really like one of the first boutique firms going on in Denver. And so I started managing bands through that, and I fell in love with it. My bands were my life back in the day. This was 2010 through 2000. The last band I stopped managing was in 2014 or 15. And yeah, I don't know. What I learned is, you just have to be passionate about the acts and you work tirelessly. I used to manage like 6 bands at a time, and it was just about trying to, I don't know, do what was best for the artist. But I realized at some point that I only had so much that I could do for them, and it wasn't enough on like a big, huge scale. Like I was just kind of smaller than, and so then Edison started, and I was realizing that all the effort I was putting into other musicians, which, no offense, but sometimes musicians aren't the best at their work ethic. And so I was let down by quite a few of the musicians I was working with, but I also had some that were great. And decided, you know, why am I working like a dog for all these other artists when I go and play music on the side myself? And once I got with these guys, it was like I believed in them so much that it gave me the courage to put all that energy into something I was a part of.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big things that comes up for bands, especially bands that are at the beginning of their careers and they're trying to make a name for themselves and get exposure, is this balance between gigs and promo, right? Gigs and promo. How much promo can you afford to do in between the gigs that are putting gas in the tank, literally, as you mentioned? How do you guys manage that push-pull of all of the requests for dropping by and hanging out with a guy at a radio station, or, you know, doing sets at a music festival or something, where there's not a lot of money behind it, but yet it's also helping get your name out in front of a lot more people?
Yeah, it's all about, we try to make smart decisions, and, you know, when we're touring, we try to get in with as many stations as we can that are playing the stuff, to build those relationships, and it's always fun. Like, we love doing the radio stuff, but, you know, we have had weeks where we did 12 shows in a row and had, like, overnight drives to make a morning radio show and morning news shows, and after, like, day 8, you're exhausted, but it's totally worth it. I know we're going to go a little dark for a minute, but with an album cycle, it's all about trying to have maximum impact. So, like, with the next album, we'll probably do it crazy like dogs again, but it's just, yeah, I'm just trying to find a balance, I guess.
You mentioned when you were walking in the door today, there are some new songs. Mm-hmm. There is a new album on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you can tell me about that project and the timeline.
We're looking to put it out next year for sure, and we're just really excited about it, man. It's put some seeds in the ground, and they grew up to be something that we weren't expecting.
Now, is this going to stay on Rhyme and Reason, or is this the kind of thing where there might be some news attached to it as well as a title?
Well, we're going to have to just wait and see. Right now, we're with Rhyme and Reason Records, and that is the plan to put the record out with them. Yeah, we're super excited about these songs. I wish I could say so much more. We're playing a handful of them at the shows right now on tour.
You can tell me anything you like about them. Nobody's actually
dude,
listening.
I've wanted to play the electric guitar for so long, and I'm finally playing it. And I've also got this vocal pedal that can do a bunch of cool stuff. And you ever like Imogen Heap?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I've got like, there's one song where I get to like this Imogen Heap
like
effect.
The big chorus effect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I'll email you actually to get you to hear it. And yeah, and the electric guitar's been super fun. And then Dustin, this is the first record. Well, we did snare on some songs on Familiar Spirit, but Dustin's extended his kit. And then Max has got a bunch of new stuff going on. He has this thing called the Mel 9, which I don't know if you want to explain to people what it is. You've heard it in all the songs today.
It sounds like this.
He can change it from cello to flute, gotcha, or any instrument that goes on top of the guitar.
So there's still the acoustic guitar sound coming through, but then there's the sort of after effect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of the new songs.
So we're getting a sample first.
Yes.
Right here, right now, a little sample. Well, I'm really happy that you guys had time to stop and visit with us. It's nice to meet all of you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Edison is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The record is called Familiar Spirit. You can find out information at listentoedison.com. And they've got one more, a tune that you already referenced in our conversation.
Yes, Open Road. This is the song you've been playing. Thank you. This is our song about our van and being crazy gypsies that travel around the country playing music.
We believe this is kind of our mantra, and we all actually have matching tattoos of some lyrics of the song. Home is wherever our feet go.
A 1, 2, 3, 4.
Home.
That is Edison live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from their record called Familiar Spirit. Information is at listentoedison.com. Sarah Slayton on vocals today, Dustin Morris on drums, harmonica, mandolin, and vocals, and Maxwell Hughes on guitar. Guys, thanks again for coming by. It's nice to meet you all.
So nice to meet you. Thanks so much for having us, Eric.